Good evening, everyone. My name is Jeffrey Combs, and I am proud and privileged to be able to share Tuesday night's More Heart Than Talent Mindset call with you this evening. I'd like to welcome everyone to tonight's call. I'm going to be hosting the call myself and delivering the content. I've had guests on for the last few weeks, and I have some great guests scheduled for you throughout the summer and fall of 2015. Next Tuesday night, May 19th, the inaugural speaking debut in the More Heart Than Talent call of Jennifer Corliss Trinkner. Jennifer, Alexis Romano, C.G. Siddons, and Tara Romano all hired me in a very close period of time back in 2011, and it's been my privilege and pleasure to be able to have Alexis, C.G., and now Jennifer Trinkner as a guest on my call. Tara Romano will be a featured speaker coming up in the very near future around her schedule. Tara's an exceptional woman and is traveling across the United States. But next Tuesday night, you definitely want to ring in to one of the most exceptional mompreneurs I've ever had the privilege of coaching. You'll also hear from Dawn Ferrantino, another mompreneur, at some point later in the year 2015. I'm also very proud to announce I have signed a contract with Mr. Mark Victor Hansen to speak Saturday, November 7th in, that is, Newark, New Jersey, at the DoubleTree by Hilton at the Newark Airport. That will be Susan Sly, Alexis Romano, myself, and a couple of other inspirational speakers, and the great Mark Victor Hansen and his wife will be joining us for that event. We have not released ticket sales. Tickets are going to be a very reasonable price. They'll be $47 for the one-day event, and there will be a few premium seats for those who want to sit in the first few rows. We'll be releasing opportunity to purchase tickets very, very soon. Now, I know that many of you attend many exceptional entrepreneurial events, speaking events, engagements. You do your own team calls. I want you to know what a privilege it is to have you on my call each and every Tuesday night, because I know you have many, many options, and I'm proud to host this call and bring great content to you and bring great speakers. Mr. Kyle Wilson last Tuesday night was fantastic. Some of the content he delivered and some of the collaboration he had spent with the great Jim Rohn, Ron White, one of the world champs in memory, and I had many, many downloads after that call. Now, next Saturday, that will be two Saturdays from this Saturday, I will be in Boston, Massachusetts. I will be in an exceptional hotel at the Hilton Hotel at Logan Airport. I've never spoken in that hotel. That is a top-tier hotel, and very, very looking forward to that event. On June 6th, I'll be in Norwalk, Connecticut. June 20th, Spartanburg, South Carolina, with Bridget Bartley. Bridget is an exceptional woman and has hosted many events for me. Bridget is here in the beautiful San Joaquin Valley with Crystal Lowry today. I know that they were experiencing some great weather here in beautiful Northern California. June 27th, my first event in Baltimore, Maryland in 6 years. July 11th, my first ever visit to Birmingham, Alabama. I will be painting Me a Birmingham, one of my favorite songs by Tracy Lawrence. July 18th, I will be a guest speaker at Alexis Romano's team event. That will be a sold-out event. I know Alexis absolutely packs out the room. July 25th, Chicago, Illinois. Tentatively, I have C.G. Siddons is going to be one of the keynote speakers on Saturday, July 25th. August 1st, I'll be back in Long Island. Thank you, Joy and Kelly Bartoletti, for hosting me there. August 8th, Marina Del Rey. August 14th, I'll be hosting the Millionaire Blueprint with Alexis Romano and Susan Sly in beautiful San Diego at the Convention Center. Now, tickets are starting to sell. Now, that event will unequivocally sell out. We have room for 800 tickets. At the last event in Palm Springs, we sold 1,200 tickets, so that'll be a bigger venue. So if you want a ticket to that event, get it soon. August 29th, I'm going to be speaking two events with Rebecca Cafiero. Rebecca will also be a guest on my call at some point. September 19th, I'll be in Pleasanton with Rebecca. September 26th, Jennifer Trinkner is going to be a guest speaker with me in Atlanta, Georgia. That will be really the debut of Jennifer and I speaking together. That will be a fabulous event. So also wanted to mention that back in Spartanburg, Bridget Bartley will also be one of my guest speakers. October 3rd, I'll be in Charleston, South Carolina with Bridget Bartley speaking with me at that event. So these are some of the events where you can find me, More Heart Than Talent. I'm also in the process of signing the contract, and if I did get all the negotiations squared away with the great Dr. Joe Dispenza. Now, that will be 2016. I know it sounds like a long ways out there, but Dr. Joe just does not have any speaking engagements available. We were able to get him to agree to do an event that will be March 19th, and that event will either be in New Jersey or Philadelphia. If it's in Philadelphia, it's going to be a smaller venue, but we're looking for a place to host that event. On Saturday, it will be Saturday, March 19th. That may be a two-day event. Presently, it's going to be a one-day event, but it will be a fabulous event. We'll have tickets on sale near the end of the year. If you're on tonight's call and you're serious and not curious, you're committed and not interested, you want to take yourself and your game to the next level, and you've ever considered hiring me to be your coach, now is the time to do it. Summer is usually my most productive month. I have one of my largest events coming up in August, and if you're considering hiring me to be your coach, now would be the opportune time. I routinely have a 12 to a 14-week waiting list. Depending on how many people hire me at an event each and every Saturday, my waiting list varies. But if you are serious about hiring me to be a coach, the time to contact me is N-O-W. You may do that directly by calling me at 209-932-0227 or giving me a Facebook message. And in July, I will be releasing my online coaching. That will be a 3-hour online coaching course. It will give you 24-hour access to how I coach some of my clients. It will be video coaching directly right there, right now. In the same month, I will also release my coaching certification program. That will be around 8 hours of content, me recorded in my studio, assisting you on how to become a success coach, how to effectively coach a team, how to coach a family, how to coach yourself, and how to be the coach's coach. And if you're serious about that content, go ahead and contact Chris@GoldenMastermind.com. Let him know that you want some of the updates and some of the pre-videos that we will be releasing for that product that will be coming out in July. Now, I must tell you, that content is going to be some of my finest hours. I've been toiling laboriously in the midnight hours after coaching, creating that content in the GMS recording studios, and that will be available sometime in July, and that will be my finest hour. I'm looking very forward to releasing that content and taking my game to the next level. And speaking of levels, that's what the call tonight is about, is how to impress your subconscious that you are good enough. Now, if you are someone who has a leverage business, you want to create multiple streams of income, and you're no longer a solopreneur, you no longer have a small business with big overhead and big capital, and you now are creating a leverage business, that it's important you understand how to change and or create an attractor factor conducive to the outcome that you seek. If you're in a business that requires leadership skills and attraction skills, then the content I have for you tonight will assist you to raise your emotional and spiritual vibration so you can attract to your reality people and situations that will create the value, service, and compensation that you require to live the good life. Now, the good life comes from the great Jim Rohn, who was famous for asking this question: what constitutes the good life? Well, that would be like beauty in the eye of the beholder. But if you want to be able to relax in production and then be able to produce, if you want to be able to relax guilt-free and produce free of guilt, then it's important you understand how to raise your energetic vibration and produce from a place called peace and create your power. But if you try and produce from anger, any kind of anxiety, an overwhelmed state, you'll have challenges attracting to your reality the people you require to create reciprocity and prosperity. And if you enter a business and you telegraph your feelings of not being good enough, if you're overwhelmed or in anxiety, if you operate from a place called fear and or doubt, yes, I'm touching all these buttons, if you operate from a place called fear, one of the most common commonalities is that people speak into existence is they fear failure. It's typically not failure that they have anxiety about. The anxiety is typically about success. Can I keep it? Can I manage it? Will I be able to control it? And it's not only that aspect of it, but the responsibility of being and staying successful. A lot of your self-talk and events that have shaped your feelings that create that self-talk is not sure. Not sure means doubt, and you're not sure if you're good enough to pull it off. Now, because you're human, you're going to have some of those feelings. Also, because you're human, you've been through a series of events, that those events may be your feelings, and if those of your feelings are not good enough, then you'll continue to attract people and situations to fulfill your feelings of low self-esteem. Your self-esteem will dictate who and what you attract. Now, how do you determine what you attract? Well, it's a very simple evaluation. It's a gut check, it's an observation, and it's objectivity. Start to ask yourself, who are my parents? Who are my grandparents? Who did I surround myself in my circle of influence? Who did my parents surround themselves with? Who are my friends in grade school, high school, college, my early teens, my adolescent, my early 20s? Who did I date? Who did I mate? Who are my soulmates? Who are my wife's friends? Who are in my circle of influence? Who are my friends in my 20s, 30s, 40s, and who are my friends today? Because that determines your attractor factor. If you look around and you're in free enterprise and you own a real estate business, you're creating income online by creating lists, or you have a network marketing or a direct sales business, well, your income is determined by not only your outcome, but your income is determined by who and what you attract. And if what you attract right now is not what you feel is going to get you to the land of promise, then it's time that you objectively understand what is going on in your unconscious subconscious. Words are law, and words do not return void. I have spent over 50,000 hours assisting people to understand how important their words are. Many people say to me, I know you don't like it when people laugh. I know you don't like it when people say need. It's not that I don't like it. What most people don't grasp is I'm attempting to assist you to understand that when you laugh unconsciously when nothing's funny, that's a direct reflection of your overwhelmed state. That's your checkout laughter that has nothing to do with joy or pleasure. That has everything to do with your anxiety. And that is not a nervous laugh. That is a checkout laugh based on a past event that has become your identity. Many people at my events laugh when nothing's funny. I point it out and people think, wow, you're the joy stealer. Not really. What I point out to people is when you check out and laugh, your body goes into a familiar state called anxiety. That type of laughter is not conducive to attracting people who are serious. Not so serious that they can't have fun, but they're serious about their goals, their objectives, their lifestyle, and the way they want to live. And that type of person is typically turned off by your anxiety. Your anxiety is not conducive to attracting people who aren't anxious. Now, because we're all real and we're all human, everyone experiences anxiety. But there are some people in society that are a lot more emotionally autonomous than most of society. And typically, those are the type of people you require to have slip through the keyhole into your enterprise. And it does not require a lot of them to be able to build a dynamic enterprise, but it requires you to let go of the control that keeps you in control of being out of control, of being unable to attract the type of people, because you have a story about those people. Many times people say, wow, I can't attract people way up there. And where is way up there? Is that on the ceiling? Is that a piece of paint you peel off the wall? Way up there typically means people in white shirts, red ties, suits and ties that you perceive to be better than you. But if your self-esteem is not conducive to attracting love, bliss, joy, enlightenment, or spirituality, then you're going to operate from anxiety, fear, doubt, which is guilt, shame, abandonment, rejection, and overwhelmed feelings. And if you are sending a mixed message or a series of words or statements that continue to de-edify you, or you come from anger and control, if you're not good enough, then you'll attract people to fulfill your feelings, typically violators, perpetrators, and low-hanging fruit energetically in about the same situation that you are in. And that way you can be and stay disappointed. But to be able to really understand the cause that creates the effect, it is important that you understand the basics of transformation. You cannot transform in denial. It just does not happen. If you're in an emotionally addicted state that leads to physical addiction, specifically food, drugs, alcohol, sex, compulsive spending, compulsive debting, gambling, anorexia, bulimia, and any other multitude of addictions, emotional and or physical, you will continue to attract people to fulfill those feelings of disappointment based on your low self-esteem. Now, when you have self-esteem that is objective, autonomous, you start to come from love, peace, passion, power, joy, bliss, any of these type of feelings, you will begin to change not only the way you feel about yourself, but you will, over a period of time, gradually begin to attract a different type of situation to your reality. So when you hear someone in your team, on your team call, at one of your events, at a company event, at a rally or convention say, I don't know what happened, people began to show up. Well, they didn't just show up accidentally. There is a science. In the laws of transformation and the laws of release and let go, the space that you occupy with low self-esteem, the space you occupy with loathing yourself, the space that you've occupied with the energy that you used to cut yourself, damage yourself, sabotage yourself, and hurt yourself, or attract people to inflict emotional violations and or physical to you, that will show up in what you attract in a team. You can't separate your feelings from your life and your business. It just doesn't typically happen. And moving to another city sometimes is a great situation. The only problem is your low self-esteem tends to follow you. Although a fresh start can be good, but if you don't address the cause that creates the effect, you will continue to perpetuate and create the same situation over and over to fulfill your disappointment, and that's what you typically end up controlling. Most speakers are not able to break down control for you. Now, I have a very acute understanding of what control is and isn't. Control is not physical. Control is emotional. Control typically is worry. If you're a chronic worrier, that is what you're controlling. But I don't want to worry. I understand that. But chronic worrying is not, you don't worry because you worry. You worry because you have events that created an overwhelmed anxiety that puts you in an acute state of fight or flight, and worry occupies a great deal of your emotional energy and time, which then depletes your emotional state and your adrenal system, your immune system, and your lymphatic system. It exhausts you. And when you start to understand why you do what you do, when you start to understand cause and effect, and this is one of the greatest values of those of you who coach with me, then come to my Breakthroughs to Success event and address cause and effect, and you start to understand how we, as souls having human experiences, continue to perpetuate the same situations over and over, and then you start to understand the events that shape the feelings, now you can let go. This is basic science. It's not that difficult. It is new. But when you tell yourself it is hard, you'll create your worry about the future that has not happened. When you let go of your worry and you go, oh my God, what am I going to do without my worry? You'd have joy. You'd have peace. That's what would happen. But you don't understand. I've worried all my life. I do understand. I spent a great deal of my time trying to control my control and ending up drinking gallons of vodka because it would take the edge off my worry of not being good enough. And then once that you are fortunate enough, have the courage, the guts, the intestinal fortitude to address an addiction, emotional and or physical, when you address that addiction, the first day that you let go of that addiction, you may have a smiling face, but you're also left with the feelings left over from that addiction. You may have addressed the physical addiction, but it's the events that you must address that continues to perpetuate the feelings of low self-esteem. Well, how do I do this? Get honest with yourself. Rigorous honesty is a way you can address the cause that creates the effect. But if you're one of these people that continues to say, I don't know, I'm not sure, my entire childhood was a blur, do I have to go back in my childhood? Not necessarily, but what you have to have basic understanding is this: why you do what you do. If you don't understand why you do what you do, you will continue to attract what you do. You'll continue to keep attracting the same situation over and over. Now, here's a really interesting dynamic. You can actually become good at the skills of a business. You can become good at the skills of a vocation. You can actually produce in a vocation, but your production, your skills, and your habits don't necessitate that you'll be able to attract the people that you require to build a leveraged business. That type of energy that you end up controlling in production can also create a law of the lid. Now, it's very common for people in a leveraged business to become productive, to still stay in the effects of the events that shape their feelings, and then they're able to graduate up to 5,000, 10,000, 15,000, but usually anything over 15,000 is challenging to let go of control when you don't understand why you do what you do what you do. And when you're one of these people that's baffled and you wonder why you're not finding these great people, you wonder why leads don't show up in your inbox, you wonder why the people that should be in your team end up in someone else's team, or you come from jealousy and envy and you feel like you've been robbed or juked or taken advantage of because no one's giving you the love, then you'd have to look in your own house of pain. The more you let go of the pain, the more you let go of your brokenness, the more you let go of your low self-esteem, then you can have esteem. It's not high self-esteem that you seek, it's love. Love is the answer. And I know that may sound a little airy-fairy, but it is an F-A-C-T, means I love self, I love life, I love God, I love who I am, I love what I do, I love the love I'm loving. When you start to move into that space, then you're not in envy, then you're not in jealousy, then you're not overwhelmed, then you're not angry, then you're not concerned, then you're not mean or any of these situations, then you don't feel what you feel, then you begin to change how you've been changing, then you begin to attract a whole different type of person to your reality. When you can let go of your unresolved anger, when you can forgive yourself for what you haven't forgiven yourself for, you will begin to attract your reality from faith. You'll begin to attract your reality from love. You'll begin to attract your reality from power, an emotional, etheric, spiritual energy. That's the white light factor that you cannot see. It's not actually white. It's a very clear, relaxed energy. Instead of being intense, or instead of being weak, you start to live in relaxed intensity. Instead of being weak, you start to find your power. The power you seek is non-physical. It's non-linear. It's a type of power that is emotional. It's a power that says, I am. I am good enough. I am capable. But when you live in doubt, what you doubt is self. You doubt yourself because you don't trust yourself. So if you can't trust, then you have control issues. If you have control issues, then you try to control the control that's in the future, then you end up worrying about what you cannot control. This is the very situation that creates people who have anxiety about flying, fear of flying, fear of going over bridges. Oftentimes these people have panic attacks because they get so overwhelmed in their overwhelmed state that they're overwhelming themselves about what they can't control. And if that tends to be you, if you have tendencies to go into that kind of control, then you're going to have challenges building a leveraged business. It only requires a few. If you were going to buy a sports franchise, you would be responsible for going out into the community and creating goodwill and trust and faith in your team. You would go out and seek sponsors, and you would do charitable acts of kindness, and you would want to get your name in front of some of the charities, the town sponsors, etc. You want to be a part of the community. Then you must also be responsible for filling the seats. But most importantly, if you own a sports team, you have to be able to attract the players that can create the winning chemistry. You can have one of the greatest players in the world, but if that player is not able to fit into that team, if the players you bring together do not create that passion, that unity, that chemistry, then that is a recipe for conflict, chaos and a competitive nature that's not going to be conducive to rebuilding a winning team. And you must be able to put your best players on the field. And how do you do that? By raising your emotional energy, by changing your vibration, by letting go of control, by being honest, by being objective. And instead of getting angry, pissed off, overwhelmed, frustrated, this is so hard. When you come from that kind of energy, you're going to attract to your reality the same type of situation over and over. In your unconscious remembers every event that has happened. Your unconscious is driven by a reticular activating system. It searches out in your neurological network for a web of feelings that are familiar. When you hold on to multiple events, when you can't remember what has happened to you, when you have stuffed your feelings, when you have forgotten what has happened because it is so painful, well, your unconscious has a memory, and that memory create situations over and over to fulfill feelings of abandonment, rejection, violation when you live in denial of what happened. When you wake up, when you become aware of why you do what you do, when you get honest with self, when you forgive, when you let go, when you don't feel violated, when you let go of disappointment, when you stop being threatened by other situations, when you actually man up, woman up, cowboy up, cowgirl up, when you come from that place, then there is no loss in universal the law, because in the law of plenty, there is always plenty. When you stop living in scarcity, when you stop living in a poverty consciousness, and you let go of your broke thoughts, then you will begin to attract in a vibrational pattern of energy a few people to your reality who will have a bigger picture and a bigger space open for themselves of opportunities. You'll start to attract one or two opportunists to your reality. But the minute you feel that you have to control the situation, the minute you feel that, oh my God, this is the person I've been looking for, the minute you get attached, you start to shut down that energy. That's why you have to learn to meet people where they are. That's why the more you understand the law of cause and effect, why you do what you do, the more you understand how we emotionally send signals, mixed and clear. The clearer your signal, the more loving you are, the more power you come from, the higher the probability that you'll attract people that you can partner with, collaborate with, create prosperity with. Why are you not good enough? That is the question you want to ask yourself. Well, I don't know. I don't know what happened. I don't know why I'm not good enough. All I know is I get overwhelmed. All is I know I have good intentions. When you live in an unorganized, overwhelmed state, and you look at how big it is, how challenging it is, I don't know where to start, that's addict talk. When you talk addict talk, you're an addict. And when you're an addict, you're going to attract people to fulfill your addictions. Not all addictions are physical. A large percent of addictions are emotional. And if you're addicted to abandonment and rejection, then you will end up disappointed. And to avoid failing, you will not start, because if you do that, then you don't fail. But the problem with not failing is you end up disappointed. And when you live in disappointment energy, what can you possibly attract to your reality? Not a whole lot. You'll attract other codependents. You'll attract addicted over-obligators. You'll attract people who do not produce. You'll attract people who will undermine you. And you'll attract your reality situations like that to fulfill that disappointment that you have so unlovingly lived in. And to be able to step out of that contradiction, I'm not sure if I'm good enough, I am good enough, I am good enough, I'm not good enough, when you live in that kind of overwhelmed state, then you can't really rise above your own energy. Now, when you begin to understand basics, when you read the book Power Versus Force by David Hawkins, when you read the book The Answer by John Assaraf, when you read the book The Biology of Belief, when you read anything by the great Dr. Joe Dispenza, I Am the Placebo, How to Break the Habit of Being Yourself, Retrain Your Brain. When you read any of this kind of content or have basic understandings of quantum physics, brain waves, why we do what we do, when you understand just the basics of why you do what you do, you can begin to let go. Letting go is liberating. Letting go is not something you do. Letting go is something you be. You don't let go by doing it physical. Letting go is a decision. It's a commitment. It's a non-physical, non-linear decision to not give energy and or attention to a situation that does not give you a reward. And what is the payoff of being overwhelmed? What is the payoff of having low self-esteem? Well, the payoff is you don't have to be very responsible. When you have low self-esteem, the moving parts of life aren't very complicated. You'll stay in disappointment over and over. You'll tiptoe quietly through life. When you have low self-esteem, you don't have a lot of responsibilities. You can barely get by. The problem with barely getting by and having low self-esteem is it's exhausting. And it's an addictive state, and there's a high probability you'll stuff your feeling with foods. You'll stuff your feelings with alcohol. You'll compulsively spend money you don't have. And you'll spend a lot of time in your head processing, getting ready to get ready, wondering why no one's giving you the love and no one's giving you the money. And typically when you have low self-esteem, you either blame yourself or you blame others. And that type of blame that you live in will attract people and situations to fulfill that disappointment. When you begin to let go, letting go is not physical. Letting go is emotional. When you have a basic understanding of your unconscious remembers every event that's ever happened to you. But when you say to yourself, wow, I don't remember anything that's ever happened to me. My whole childhood was a blur. Well, you don't have to spend the rest of your life figuring out your childhood, but at least do this. Have a basic understanding objectively of what went on in your world as you're growing up. And if you were traumatized, victimized, grew up in an abandoned, neglected home, if you grew up in alcoholism, violence, or any of these type of situations, it can have an effect on your self-esteem. The brilliant part about your brilliant brain is at any given moment, you, with your brain collaborating in, when you collude with your brain, when you actually start to come together with your brain, when you are one, when you're not separate, when your brain is separate from your body in an outer body experience because you checked out and you now learn to check in and you start to be in your body, then you can start to communicate differently with yourself. When you start to communicate with I am enough, then when someone gives you a compliment, you'll actually hear it. But when you're not enough, a lot of times people will compliment you and you don't even hear it because it's so foreign to your unconscious. Your unconscious is continuing to tell you, look, kid, you're not going to grow up. You're never going to do anything. I own you. Your unconscious will tell you, look, I'm not going to let you remember any event that ever happened to you. I'm just going to tell you, you don't know. You're not sure. Just keep tiptoeing quietly through life, arrive your grave safely, and take me to the land of disappointment. Because if I can live in that, so your unconscious says, look, I don't really want to produce that much. I'm a lackey. I'm a slacker. You know, I've got conditioned to be like this, so don't ever grow up, don't ever get real, be an addict, and let's just not be very responsible. That's typically what happens when you live in that kind of self-talk. See, with that kind of self-talk, you don't ever really have to master the moving parts of success, and that freaking freaks you out. And that's why so many people get so overwhelmed at the possibility, the probability, the definite of purpose of being successful. Because they go to an event, a rally, a convention, they see someone else making $100,000 a month, they go, wow. So your conscious mind says, I want that, that shiny object. I want that. I want to have a limousine. I want to fly first class. I want to go to an island. I want to live the good life, but your unconscious screams, are you freaking kidding me, dude? That would change my identity. No way, hose B. You can't do that. You can't let go of me. I control you. That is what control is. Your unconscious is what controls you to be in control of not letting go of control. Yes, I'm explaining it to you. So when you start to understand that it's your unconscious that continues to keep you doing what you are doing. I had the privilege of coaching one of my most exceptional women clients and friends earlier this evening, my last call of the evening, and I felt her get it. I unequivocally felt her release. I felt her let go of some of the anger and rage, the violation energy that keeps her attracting the same type of situation over and over. That is what I'm good at, assisting people understand the cause that creates the effect. Oftentimes I'm misunderstood. People go, wow, that guy's a dick. He gets in your face. He challenges you. Oh, he's mean. Actually, I'm not. I'm very loving. I'm very understanding. But I have the courage and the intestinal fortitude to challenge your unconscious. I'm not really concerned with challenging you. I want to challenge the violators that created that unconscious that kept you feeling like I felt for 14 years, and then about another 10 being a dry drunk. When you have the courage to challenge your unconscious, then you don't require someone like me. But if you can't do it on your own, I am your man for that task because I can do it. And I had to do it for myself. I spent 10 years in denial as a dry drunk, 14 years as an addict, 10 years as a dry drunk, 6 of those with a migraine and a headache, trying to figure out how God dealt me such a bad hand. I thought, wow, I got clean and sober, now I can be a millionaire. It didn't happen quite that way. I spent 6 years going up the down staircase. I actually had one six-figure year in the first 6 years of my network marketing and direct sales career. However, 3 back-to-back businesses went out of business on me. That was my unconscious saying, you're addicted to starting over. Climb the top, go to the bottom. Climb the top, go to the bottom. Climb the top, go to the bottom. Think you're there and then embarrass yourself. That's what, and it became embarrassing, and I lost all credibility. I had recreated the same situation in sobriety that I had created as an addict. I thought I went to the top in my addiction, ended up at the bottom in jail, got out of jail, started over, climbed to the top, 3 different companies, they all went out of business. Same effect, disappointment, low self-esteem. So even though I was clean and sober, I didn't have high self-esteem, I had confidence. There's a huge disparity and a huge difference between competence, confidence, and self-esteem. Your unconscious will actually frick with you. I didn't say the word. They will frick with you, and it will seduce you into believing that confidence is self-esteem. It isn't. Confidence is an inflated ego that says, oh, wow, I'm cool. It doesn't say I'm good enough, but your unconscious will seduce you into believing you're cool, when really you're just smarmy. You think you're cool, but you're really just smarmy, faking yourself in to the next collapse, and you go from collapse to collapse, but self-esteem is who you really are. That's beyond confidence. Competence is good, but effectiveness, when you become effective, when you become objective, when you learn how to live in the moment, be in the present, then you can fight with your unconscious, you can wrestle with it, and you will defeat it. You will say, I'm no longer that event. When you start to live in self-esteem and love, you can conquer your past. You can let go of your past by saying, I'm no longer the event. That is no longer me. I am me. I am free. That's what you can do. That's who you can be. Success is a be state. It's what you do, but it's more importantly who you are. When you are successful, when you're successful, then your success can go away. And when your success goes away, then you're still successful. But if your ego is wrapped up in your success and you lose your success, then you have no identity. But success is fleeting. Sometimes it comes and goes. And when you can navigate and be able to adapt and adjust to life situations, then you won't get so overwhelmed and so anxious about what you might lose or what someone might take from you. When you learn to let go of that kind of control, there is no loss in universal law. When you can be in a be state, live in the present, and understand that success is more than success. Success is friends. Success is compatibility. Success is a soulmate. Success is love. Success is the universe. Success is the land. Success is ecology. Success is your country. Success is your flag. Success is your emotional freedom, being free of an addiction. That is success. The most important success that you will ever master is your unconscious. When you master your unconscious, then success is inevitable. When you let go of your unconscious events that keep you doing the same thing over and over, then you won't relapse on ice cream. Then you won't slip up and have a drink. Then you won't go to a food fest and relapse. You won't go and compulsively spend and buy dumb things you do not require because you have shiny object syndrome. That when you're able to master your emotions, then you don't have challenges with your unconscious because you are consciously conscious. But when you live in an unconscious, then you do dumb things that you're not aware of. And you do things like alienate people, say dumb things, create situations that aren't favorable, sabotage yourself, lose your composure, lose your control, get in arguments, and do things that hinder and violate yourself. But when you live in an unconscious consciousness, then you're consciously aware. And from that type of awareness, then your attractor factor becomes phenomenal. And that means in phenomenal, you become a phenom. That's what that means. A phenom means phenomenal. It means really good. When you come from that type of energy, people do show up because you're not worried about them not showing up. But when you worry about what you don't have and what you can't control in the future, you can't possibly attract your reality. The four or five people in a calendar year that you can attract to collaborate with. In any type of leverage business, one to four or five people changes the whole game. Now, it happened to me in 1996. 1995, I was $100,000 in credit card debt. I answer a newspaper ad out of the USA Today in Beverly Hills, California, at an AM-PM mini market. I'm sitting in a 1990 Honda Accord, 130,000 miles on it, gray cloth interior, not leather, sitting in the front seat on a Wednesday afternoon, circling the want ads with a red Sharpie, I'll never forget it, sitting there by myself right outside of Howard Johnson, $75 a night, right across the street from the Mormon Temple on Little Santa Monica, 1996, circling the want ads in the USA Today. I circle an ad that says, "Attitude, I refuse to let you fail." A gentleman named T.C. Bradley, who lives in Florida today and to this day is a very good friend of mine, he had placed that ad. That ad was destiny for me. T.C. was very uncomfortable with the fact that I answered his ad because I had some attitude and I was a young man on a mission. And he almost talked himself out of signing me up. I went on to achieve multiple six figures that next year, primarily because my attractor factor had changed. So those of you who say they showed up, I understand what it means to show up, because everyone that I was looking for between 1990 and 1995 showed up in 1996 because the dues had been paid. When you begin to understand the dues, the skills, the habits, the mindset, you start to work on your self-esteem, you start to let go of the events that shape your feelings, you start to forgive others who have violated you, you stop holding other people responsible for your feelings, your attractor factor change. When you let go of guilt and shame, when you start to join our group called the Guilt Cleanse that Carolyn Olson and I put together, when you start to go into that group and you start to let go of your feelings, when you let go of your unconscious, when you let go of the events, when you can actually share with a group of people, when you come to an event like Breakthroughs to Success and you're not worried about how you're going to control the control that keeps you out of control, when you can actually let go, when you can be in a group of people, you can be honest, objective, real, you can be yourself, that's where your self-esteem starts to shine. That type of shine doesn't shine off. But when you have shiny object syndrome and you try and fake yourself into self-esteem by having high self-confidence, even though you're competent, well, you'll find the law of the lid somewhere between 5 and 15,000. You'll never attract your reality, the people you require to experience love, joy, and real friendship. So you may attract some people you can create money with, but those kind of people tend to violate you. When you really learn to dig in and let go, you'll learn to let people be who they are. You'll meet people where they are, and you won't take situations personal. You won't be so sensitive and defensive. When you're sensitive and defensive, that's a direct reflection of your low self-esteem. When you take things personal and rejection keeps coming out of your mouth, "I don't like rejection, I don't like rejection, I don't like rejection," that's a direct reflection of your low self-esteem. That means that you're in denial of what's really going on because people aren't rejecting you, they're not interested. And this is, you'll start to understand there is not very little follow-up. Because when you have self-esteem, you don't get attached to the people who don't buy. You don't have to chase, beg, stalk people because you're plenty. And in the law of plenty, people show up. because in plentiful, there is no loss in universal law. When this type of situation begins to happen, your attractor factor changes. You come from awareness, you come from bliss, you come from love, you come from joy, you come from enlightenment, and your attractor factor changes. When you're as cool as the other side of the pillow, when you're relaxed, when you live in a released state, when you're in prosperity, in that flow, when you're ITF, in the flow, when you can bend time, slow time down, when you're not in a warp speed trying to catch what you can't catch, then you're when in that type of energy, when you're so fast that you're not effective, when you're a spinning top out of control, you're not effective. But when you can methodically ask questions in a sequence, when you can sit there and be in the box, when you can take the punches, when you can take the swings, when you can, when someone's dishing it out, you can take it and you don't take it personally, that's when you're the man and you're the woman. That's when people say, wow, I want to join you. I want to be in your team. I want to be in your circle of influence. I want to join your culture. I don't know what it is about you, but I want to be a part of it. That's when people begin to show up in your inbox and your voicemails. That's when all of a sudden you find someone's card or someone gives you a referral or someone goes, hey, I don't know what it is about you, but I want to join your team. See, that kind of attractor factor comes from addressing what's gone on in the past. It means you start to let go of your unconscious. You start to have a better understanding of the words you use. You begin to change your language structure. You begin to speak much more decisively. You become to become much more committed. You speak less defensively. You don't check out and laugh as frequently. You don't spend as much time worrying about what you worry about your worry. You don't spend as much time trying to control the control that keeps you out of control. You don't say things to yourself like, I'm not good at writing. I wouldn't know what to say. I hope you don't call on me. When you come from that kind of energy, that's unconscious energy from the past that says, I'm going to make a mistake. I don't want to get noticed. When you come from that kind of energy, and none of this is your fault, but it's your responsibility to understand cause and effect. When you've been conditioned to believe that you're shy and you're quiet, and that's who you are today, well, that's going to hinder your ability to write on command. It's going to hinder your ability to speak. You're going to have challenges having a voice that's heard. And when you begin to let go of these events that have shaped your feelings, then you'll no longer hold other people responsible for the way you feel. The more you let go, the more that you're going to create space for the new. The more you hold on to what is familiar, the more you hoard, the more you hold on to stuff, the more you hold on to papers, the more you live in denial, the more you lie to yourself. When you're an addict, you're a pathological liar, specifically to yourself. You can't possibly be in self-esteem in denial. When you live in denial, you're denying your higher self. When you're in denial, you're living in a very low vibration in a lower self that can only attract your reality, people to fulfill your disappointment. As you begin to let go of that lower energy, as you begin to take deep breaths, as you begin to release, as you have a better understanding of what creates your effects, and you start to live in the present and in the now. What does it mean to even live in the now? It means that you have very little concern about the past, which there is nothing. When you're not in regret or you're not in anxiety about the future, you're in the present. When you can be in that space, then you're neutralizing a lot of what's going on in your outer world. It's your inner world that creates your self-esteem. You may live in shiny objects. You may have a nice brand new Mercedes. You may have a big house. But if you're in liability debt, you bought all this on credit, and you're trying to impress people, then you're not really impressing on your unconscious that you're good enough. If you try and trick your unconscious by having stuff and shiny objects that you're enough, yet you're really not enough, then there's a high probability you'll lose what you never really should have had. And this is why so many people, they go out and buy things like houses. Oh my God, I have to get a house. I have to get a house. I'm going to put 5% down. I'm going to get a 30-year loan. I'm going to pay interest for the rest of my life just so I have a house because that house will make me whole. It doesn't. That's not a house of the holy. That's a house of the unhealthy. That house probably will find a way to separate itself from you because you weren't good enough. And that's what happens when you try and do things to inflate your self-esteem and not address what goes on in your unconscious, then the shiny objects and the shiny people that you attract to your reality. And that's why when you try and buy love with money, it never works, because eventually you'll have no money and you'll have no love. But when you have love, then there's a high probability that you can attract people and situations that you can create money with. And your objective is not to keep money. Your objective is to keep a flow moving. So in the flow, you want to be like a river where you can go over a rock. You can wear a rock down. You want to be in the game long term, not short term. And when you're not in control of the control that kept you out of control, then you are you and you are free. So how do you do this? Self-esteem is permission-based. The only person's permission you require to have self-esteem is your own. You know, there are going to be people from your past that are in your present, and if you keep past violators in your present because you're too guilty to let them go, you can't possibly have self-esteem. And when you say, well, you don't understand, that's my family, I do understand. Because I understand inherently it is your right, it is your ability to decide, to choose, the value of choice, who to surround yourself with. And sometimes there are people in your life that aren't healthy for you, and if it's your family, well, you may have to make some decisions. They're not hard decisions, they're new decisions. But if you create a situation that's hard and you operate from guilt and resentment, then you'll have challenges ever having self-esteem. You keep saying, I know, I really know I should. Well, you really don't know, because you're in denial. If you did know, you'd already have done it. When you can see, that's the control that keeps you in low self-esteem. But when you get angry and you fly off the handle, that's the human factor. But how long you stay in anger will be determined by your self-esteem. If you feel violated and create violations, it's because you have very low self-esteem and you want to fulfill those feelings of being out of control. That's what happens when you don't really have self-esteem. As I said, self-esteem is permission-based. It's going to come from your peace and your power. It's not going to come from your success. Success does not give you self-esteem. Success is success. You have to be able to separate success from your self-esteem. Because your self-esteem can create your success, but your success does not create your self-esteem. Now, your success can be a component of self-esteem, but you have to be, your self-esteem is you. Your self-esteem is you without success. It's you in the universe being comfortable with who you are. Because when you're in this big universe, and you are you and you are free, you can create on command whatever it is your conscious and unconscious that come together that create an identity that's conducive to having self-esteem, then there's very little that you can't create. That's how powerful your mind is. A belief is the power to create or the power to destroy. A direct quote from the great Tony Robbins, Chapter 4, Awaken the Giant Within. Robbins says that beliefs are sense of certainty. When you are certain, you will not be denied. When you're uncertain, you will be in doubt. When you're uncertain, you will tend to avoid that which you perceive to be painful. When you are certain, there is no pain. When there is no pain, there is only gain. And in that gain, you're gaining ground, you're gaining momentum, you're gaining friends, you're gaining prosperity. Gain means inch by inch, it's a cinch. But when you keep talking about how hard it is and how hard it is to get that yard, then you never really get the momentum created by the inch by inch. When you become methodical, systematic, and you're not in control, and you understand that success and self-esteem are a process. It's a one day at a time created to create a foundation. Your foundation of love and success will come from your self-esteem. And if you don't have self-esteem, you cannot attract love. When you have low self-esteem, you'll attract people to fulfill your low self-esteem. When you live in low self-esteem, you can't really succeed because you can only attract people to fulfill your disappointment. Now, the more you understand the cause that creates the effect, the more relaxed you can be in the process. When you're in a relaxed, released state, you're going to tend to attract people and situations to fulfill that energy. When you're in a frantic, frenetic, overwhelmed, unorganized, undisciplined state, you can't ever master the moving parts of love and success. The moving parts of success and love means that you love yourself, you love people, you love life, you love what you do, you love your universe, you love your country, you love animals. You're in a space where you're in a space where you are you and you are free. When you come from that space, then you're not in denial. And that type of denial you're in doesn't allow you to forgive. When you're in denial, then you live in guilt and shame. And that guilt and shame is what allows you to stay in low self-esteem. But when you begin to address your guilt, the events, the people, the perpetrators, it changes your energy. And in that energy, you start to feel. You don't feel so painful. You start to live in the pleasure zone. You start to experience more joy. And the type of laughter that you laugh is joy and bliss. It's not checkout and anxiety laughter. The more you understand the cause that creates the effect, the more you understand why you do what you do, the more you understand the inner workings of the inner brain and the brainwave states that create anxiety and addiction, or the brainwave state that creates attraction, love, flow, and joy, and the brainwave state that creates relaxation, and the brainwave state that creates addiction and codependence, the more you understand that, just the basic principles of what goes on in your inner body and what goes on in your unconscious, then you can become objective. Objectivity is the key to self-esteem. When you're objective, it means you're real, you're honest. When you can live in rigorous honesty, then you won't lie to yourself or lie to others, and then you can look at a situation for what it is and not get concerned with what it isn't. My name is Jeffrey Combs. I am the president and founder of Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated. This call is officially a call. If you've been on this call and you feel like you want to connect with me, you can call me directly at 209-932-0227. 209-932-0227. This Friday and Saturday, I will be hosting my Protege Writer Speakers Workshop. Next Saturday is Memorial Weekend. I will be hosting a call Tuesday night with the exceptional Jennifer Corliss Trinkner, a woman who's gone on to become a multiple six-figure income earner in her company, well on her way to becoming a million heiress, will be my guest speaker next Tuesday night, a woman of absolute influence, affluence, and a woman who's absolutely one of the top mompreneurs I've ever had the privilege of collaborating with. She'll be my guest next Tuesday. May 30th, I will be in Boston, Massachusetts at Logan Airport at the Hilton. I want to thank each and every one of you for being on tonight's Tuesday night More Heart Than Talent Mindset call. This call is officially a call, and I want to thank you for being on tonight's call. Have a great evening, everyone.